WNRN is supported by SevillePodcast.com and by Songs, Inc. Videos from this interview are available at youtube.com/WNRN Radio.
Our most recent studio guest is sitting right in front of me, Tony Decker of Great Lakes Swimmers. Nice to see you, Tony.
Thanks for having me.
He is playing, they are playing tonight. He'll be with a full band. Great Lakes Swimmers is playing tonight at the Outback Lodge here in Charlottesville. We're very proud to be presenting that show as they tour on the gorgeous new album, Lost Channel. So congratulations on your, is it your fourth studio album?
Yeah, if you can call it a studio album, it's our fourth album though. Yeah.
Oh, that's right, actually. And I wanted to ask you about that. So I've been reading a little bit about how, you know, you recorded this album in a less conventional way, I guess. And can you talk a little bit about your choice to liberate yourself from the studio a bit on this recent album?
Sure. We traveled to a region in the St. Lawrence River. We're basically up in the Great Lakes region where Lake Ontario empties out into the St. Lawrence River, called the Thousand Islands region. And we connected with a local photographer and historian there who pointed us in the direction of some pretty unique acoustic spaces in the area. And we were able to bring in some recording gear and turn some of these spaces into our, I guess, makeshift recording studio and record the record in there.
It sounded like some of the spaces were pretty unconventional. And in fact, even tell us about the castle.
Sure. Yeah. We were really lucky to be able to get into this, turn of the century, castle that, you know, was on this island called, the castle was called Singer Castle because it was built by someone who made their name in the Singer Sewing Machine Company in the late 1800s. And the island is called Dark Island. So, you know, it's kind of this thing that, you know, you couldn't possibly make up, you know, recording music in Singer Castle on Dark Island, you know, in the middle of the St. Lawrence River. It's just actually on the upstate New York side. Because the St. Lawrence River is kind of the dividing line between Ontario, Canada, and New York State. And it was just a full-blown, giant castle with secret passageways and, you know.
Turrets and
yeah, bell tower and, you know, paintings that move and stuff. It's really
I have this great really mental image of you all packing your instruments into little rowboats and kind of rowing to the castle. And I don't know how close to reality that was. You probably had a motorboat, did you?
We had to hire a sea captain, actually.
Oh, really?
to get us to the island because it was about a 45-minute boat ride to get to this island, so... we had to show up early in the morning on the shore and load up all our instruments and gear onto this guy's boat, and he took us across.
It sounds like something Colin Molloy would write a song about, but you actually lived it. It's like a Decemberist song.
Yeah.
Well, okay, which songs did you record there? Did you do just one song there, or did you do a whole day's worth of recording? I mean,
we did
storm the castle. You went to the trouble of storming the castle. So
yeah. It would have been nice to have more time there than we actually had, but there were a lot of the tracks from the song "Concrete Heart" were recorded there, which was appropriate because the room that we were recorded in was called the Great Hall, and it was the giant stone entranceway with kind of like flying ceilings and stuff, and it was really, really interesting acoustically, and we recorded a lot of the tracks for that song there, and also the song New Light, a lot of the tracks were recorded there as well. And there were a couple other tracks too where we did some acoustic guitar tracks, but as I was saying, we were in a lot of different locations in the region, and we were also in a church and also in a really great old theater on the Ontario side, but it was quite an experience. You know, it was really a big part of the creative process to be able to do that.
I imagine now when you hear those songs, well, at least when you hear those recordings, but I don't know about whether when you play them live, but they must seem a bit imbued with that sense of space from when you recorded those tracks.
Yeah, definitely, and that was sort of part of the point, was to get a really nice natural sounding recording. You know, a really nice natural reverb and, you know, sort of natural acoustics on it.
No Pro Tools Logic and
No, we did use Pro Tools, but we used it for good, not evil.
very good. Well, I would love to hear you share a song with us from the album, or, you know, an older one if you wish, whatever.
Sure. This song is from the new album, and it's called Everything Is Moving So Fast.
So we have Tony Decker of Great Lakes Swimmers here on WNRN.
what sort of pressure and what kind of force must there have been to drive you here? Was it uplifting or was it deformed? Faulting and rifting, you folded. What does it feel like to fall in slow motion despite it all? There's no time to think it through when we're connected over the blue.
WNRN, we've got Tony Decker of Great Lakes Swimmers here in studio, and the full band will be playing tonight at the Outback Lodge here in Charlottesville. WNRN, very proud to be presenting that show. And Tony, so this gorgeous new album, which is Ann Williams' Acoustic Sunrise CD of the Month, is called Last Channel. So is that a reference to kind of the process you went through recording this one? The sense of place that you...
Yeah, the being lost. there's actually a passage of water in the St. Lawrence River between some of the islands called the Lost Channel. And there was a really great story that was related to us by a fellow named Ian Korstein, who was the historian and photographer of the region who showed us around, about some mysterious boat and crew disappearances that happened there in the late 1700s. And he tells the story a lot more eloquently than I do, so I'm not going to try to repeat it. But it really left an impression on us, and it was a way to sort of tie in the project to the region and mm-hmm. sort of make that reference geographically.
And kind of appropriate where your album feels so haunted by the places and where, you know, wherein you recorded it. So, you know, to have this haunted story kind of presiding over the title of your album works in a way.
Yeah, I think so too.
Now, I know that there seems to be a pretty important component to, you know, the natural world in your songwriting, and I know that you also base yourself now in Toronto. So I'm wondering, do you have to look outside the city to find that sort of natural inspiration, or do you find it within the city, or you kind of carry it with you, and it doesn't matter if you're in the middle of a metropolitan area when you're writing songs like
this?
Yeah.
I grew up in a really small farming community in southern Ontario, and that kind of thing has kind of always been in my bones, kind of, and it's sort of when I go to write something that I feel that I have some sort of insight into, it always comes back to, you know, those natural rhythms and that natural world that I sort of grew up in.
Mm-hmm.
And being in Toronto, you know, there's obviously... there's a tension there between the natural world and the urban world, sort of.
I'm sure there are green spaces and that sort of thing.
Yeah, there are. Toronto is a fairly green city. It's got a lakefront too, like a harbor front. So it's got that going for it too. And, you know, if you drive an hour in any direction from Toronto, you're pretty much out into the wilderness again.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway. So,
mm-hmm.
But that being said, I mean, I think that there are definitely... you know, there's a sort of a rhythm to urban life too,
right?
And I think it's, you know, I've been kind of interested in exploring you know, how those natural rhythms and urban rhythms sort of play off each other, or
mm-hmm.
how they're similar or how they're different, you know, because the city has a rhythm too, and as much as the natural world has its own sort of rhythm, and both environments are to be feared and respected,
you know? Yeah, the city definitely has a heartbeat too, so I guess it's not too far off to capture that as well. Could we hear another song from the album?
Sure. On the topic of urban rhythms, this is a song that I was asked to write by a group in called Sound Axis in Toronto, and it was kind of a strange project. They wanted a group of songwriters and musicians to write songs about architecture in Toronto between the 1950s and 1970s. And so this
you're
was my
singing about architecture.
Yeah.
Kind of so, similar to the quote about, what is it, talking about love is like dancing about architecture or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. but so they asked me to write this song, and we ended up putting it on the new album, and it's called Concrete Heart.
Excellent.
Center of the world for me once, where I saw I love you all over the place. That was where the stones played once. These are the bricks that shattered my heart. This is the place where I felt like the world's tallest self-supporting tower, at least for a little while anyway. Hiding out in the subway system, hanging out in the library system, you made me feel like a harbor. You made me feel like a fortress. This is the place where I fell. Self-supporting tower, or maybe number two, at least for a little while anyway. Thank you.
WNRN. That was Great Lakes Swimmers, Tony Decker in studio. Concrete Heart is to be found on the most recent Great Lakes Swimmers album, Lost Channels, our CD of the month for Acoustic Sunrise here at WNRN. Great Lakes Swimmers will be performing full band-wise tonight at the Outback Lodge here in Charlottesville. WNRN, very pleased to be presenting the show, and hope to see many of you out for it. Now, Tony, I know that, or I understand at least, that the composition of Great Lakes Swimmers has been kind of fluid throughout the years, that you've worked with different, collaborated with different musicians to make the four records. Is that something that, is that still true, or has the band lineup kind of solidified a bit recently, or?
It has solidified somewhat. I mean, it's basically the same lineup that recorded on the record.
Okay.
With the exception of the bass player, who became busy with another band that he was a part of and wasn't able to tour with us.
Okay.
But yeah, it's been it has been a pretty fluid lineup, and it seems like there are people that over the last number of years have drifted in and out of the project. But I think we have a solid core of people now that we work with that are sort of based in the music community in Toronto. And it's kind of the nature of the music community there for everyone to sort of chip in and pull together and make shows happen and make music happen. So
kind of a collaborative spirit there.
Yeah, there really is, and I think that's kind of like been adopted by the band too. Just like, oh, you know our bass player can't make it, we'll call our friend, and it's all very good energy, you know.
Well, I suppose you sort of draw from that creatively too. I mean, I guess with each album, if you have a new collaborator coming into a project, and maybe, like, you know, when people come into your life and inspire you in some way, and then, you know, perhaps they move on, but you're still changed in all the little ways that people do. So
yeah, absolutely. With each new sort of collaborator in the band, they've brought their own sort of creative mindset to it, and it's really, I think it's even on this new album, it's sort of more evident, like that there's been, you know, the personalities of each of the musicians comes through a lot more, I think, than in past, and there's a lot more of a sort of a band chemistry happening, you know, because we've all played together for a little while. So
cool. Now, I read somewhere that it sounded like you made sort of a deliberate, a conscious choice not to pursue formal musical training because you didn't want to be too constrained by that, perhaps. Is that, I mean, are you the music writer that you are because you did kind of forego that training, and you sort of feel like you can pursue songs in unorthodox ways, or you're not tied down to one particular right way that you've been trained to do things?
Mm-hmm.
I just thought that was an interesting choice, if it was kind of a conscious decision on your part.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I guess I consider myself a writer before a musician, really. Mm-hmm. But I'm self-taught, and I've been playing for about 15 years now, actually. So, but I've never taken any formal music training or anything, or lessons or anything like that. I just sort of I was naturally predisposed to playing the guitar and just sort of picked it up and just learned it on my own, and had a few people show me some chords and sort of went from there.
So sometimes do you write music first and then other times you write lyrics first? It's not necessarily a set pattern that you have in terms of approaching a new song?
No, it's never a set pattern, and that's, you know, in a larger sense, there's no right way to, like, be a musician or a writer, and there's no right way to write a song. I don't really have a formula. You know, every song is sort of different. Every song kind of comes through a little differently.
It looks like you have a busy spring ahead of you. I was looking at your tour schedule, and I guess you guys kind of finish your North American tour in Toronto, right, and get to debut the new material officially,
right,
in your hometown. But then it looks like you don't have a lot of time off before you head to Europe.
No, I think we have 2 or 3 days, and then we're heading to Europe.
Wow.
At home, and then we're heading to Europe. So we're sort of in the middle of a 3-month tour right now. We're about halfway, I think.
Well, good luck with all of it. And congratulations on the beautiful new album, because we are really enjoying it. And our listeners are responding to it a lot, too. We get lots of emails and calls about various songs we're playing from the album. So
that's wonderful. Thank you.
Central Virginia likes your record. We have time for one more song, if you don't mind sharing one more.
Sure, I'll play another song from the new album. You sort of have to picture drums on this one, but I'm gonna try to do an acoustic version of it here.
Okay.
It's the song Pulling on a Line.
Mm-hmm. across the freshly fallen snow. Where only those embracing boldness would go. In whistles and in whispers and sometimes it howls. It sings to me sweetly from trees and in vows. I'm just pulling on a line, oh I'm just pulling on a line. I'm just pulling on a line, sometimes it pulls on me. Dark sky. In the electric flashes ending with a sigh. It weaves itself into a fabric so true. And flows just like the river, graceful and
Great Lake Swimmers on WNRN. Thank you, Tony, for coming in studio. Again, Great Lake Swimmers will be tonight at the Outback Lodge here in Charlottesville. WNRN presents, and we're hoping to see you out for it. And thank you again for coming in. That was gorgeous.
Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Good luck on the rest of your long tour. And I hope as many people fall in love with you around the world as they have in Central Virginia, because definitely deserve it.